16 Pier. The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Waycross at 91.3. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill. I have the honor and pleasure of sitting in for Dr. Youngblood today. He is taking care of some family issues, all good things, and I'm pleased to be able to host his show today. A little bit about myself. I'm in the Pensacola, Florida area. I own a small business, insurance and financial services. I've been doing that for 33 years now. Before that, I was active duty Air Force for 10 years after graduating from the Air Force Academy in 1980. I also served in the Florida State House, first elected in 2013. So from 2013 through 2020, I was a member of the Florida State House first, in District 2, and then in District 1. So a lot of issues that I'd like to go through with you today. Hopefully we'll be able to get through them all. One, let's talk about public school versus homeschooling, what we're looking at there. And then student loans, the whole idea of this continuing crisis that just seems to be getting worse. Then I'm sure you've all heard by now that Henry Kissinger passed away last week at 100 years old. Let's go through an article, talk a little bit about his life, what Henry Kissinger was all about. And then just recently, I received my November-December article of AMAC. I'm a member of AMAC. And they had an excellent little article on the Presidential Voter Guide. So looking at some of the issues that are important to voters, let's look at the top candidates in both parties and see where they stand. Then, of course, for me, what's always important is our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, what was used to put this nation together. Let's talk about the five truths of the Declaration of Independence. Now, before we get there, let's go back to one of our sponsors. Let's Face the Issues is brought to you in part by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time also has a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including Honda and Echo generators. Tools for a Time staff can answer all your homeowner and professional and backup power equipment questions. They're located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, near the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. Right at the base of the gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. They can be reached online at toolsforatime.com. That's toolsforatime.com. So, Oh, and if you would like to join the program, the number here is 904-831-0917. So if you would just like to comment on any particular issue, whether I've covered it or not, some issue that's in the news today, feel free to call in. If you would like to call in to comment and agree with what I've said, or you have a question about it, that's fine too. And if you want to call in to dissent, express your displeasure with what I said, do that also, because that means you're a leftist. And I would like to speak to a leftist. That means you're listening to this show, which you need to. Perhaps you'll get educated and become a better citizen instead of being a leftist. Let's start off with public school versus homeschooling. This is an article that came out of the Mises Institute. They're out of Auburn, Alabama. They're Austrian economists who believe in fairness and freedom in our economic system. Now, they start off with this article. In 2019, Harvard Law Professor Elizabeth Bartlett, that's all you need to know right there, a Harvard Law Professor, you know no good idea is going to come out of there. So Harvard Law Professor Elizabeth Bartlett published an article for a presumptive ban on homeschooling. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you nothing good comes out of Harvard Law? So she wants this ban on homeschooling. Why? She believes it conflicted with progressive ideals. You better believe it does. That's why you should homeschool your children. I'm going to tell you right now at the onset of this article, parents, grandparents, if there's any way possible for you to get your children out of government schools, do it as soon as you can. Whether you do homeschooling, private schooling, charter schooling, internet schooling, anything has to be better than what we're seeing in these government schools right now, even in the conservative state of Florida. Now, according to this Harvard Law Professor, which right away, again, is a red flag, if you see Harvard Law Professor, you know they're on the left. Homeschooling presents both academic and democratic concerns, she argued. Public education makes children aware of important cultural values and provides skills, enabling them to participate productively in their communities and a larger society through various forms of civic engagement. Even homeschooling parents capable of satisfying the academic function of education are not likely to be capable of satisfying the democratic function. How amazing is this statement from this Harvard Law Professor? Elizabeth Bartlett wrote that in 2019, essentially saying that it is the state, it's the government that should be raising your children and not parents. When God gave those children to parents, let me say that differently, God loaned those children to parents so that they could raise them in the admonition and fear of the Lord, not so that they will adhere to progressive ideals or left-leaning ideals as this educated, so-called educated Harvard Law Professor Elizabeth Bartlett thinks. She says that parents are not capable of satisfying the democratic function of telling their children how they should behave in society. Bunch of nonsense. Of course parents are able to, but that just shows you the arrogance, the gall of those people on the left. Now, Bartlett, this Harvard Law Professor, published her condemnation of homeschooling as faith in America's public school system was plummeting. Yet she neglected to provide any comparative analysis. So, how do the two systems stack up? Following progressive educational theories, the federal government began exerting more authority over the educational system in the 20th century, imposing national standardized testing in 1965, and establishing a federal educational bureaucracy, the Department of Education, in 1979. Now, when you think about that, ladies and gentlemen, those are relatively recent events. The Department of Education has only been around since 1979. That's not that long ago. You would have thought that they've been in existence since the founding of this nation, but it's not that long ago that the Department of Education got involved and started destroying public education, government education. And what we need to do, in my humble opinion, is to abolish the Department of Education. They haven't been around that long. It won't be hard to get rid of them. We don't need a federal Department of Education. States can take care of the education within their state. And then within the state, each county, at least in Florida, each county can compete for how they want to best educate their child. People are then free to move where they believe the best education system is for their children. But until then, until we keep this Department of Education and our current school system in place, get your children out of that school system. Now, in the 21st century, both George Bush's No Child Left Behind and Barack Obama's Common Core demanded even more federal funding, bureaucratic oversight, and standardized testing for public schools. And again, standardized testing didn't begin until 1965. Now, I grew up in Department of Defense schools. Because my father was active duty Air Force, I went to schools that were on military bases. Essentially, they were government-run schools, but they were private government-run schools. In other words, they were on base. I was not submitted to all of the nonsense you see in government schools that we see today. Why? Because on the Department of Defense schools on military bases, I'm surrounded by other children who were from military parents when there is a level of discipline that is there. The discipline, of course, comes from the military itself, which the parents then pass on to their children. So that allows for a good learning environment, which we do not have in our government-run schools today. So they started in 1965 standardized testing to try and make sure that everything was being taught that the government wanted taught throughout each of the states when the states should be doing that themselves. That was in 1965. And then we come with this Department of Education in 1979. We need to get rid of the Department of Education. Let's continue with this article that is found in the Mises Institute. The results have been dismal. Since 1970, the U.S. has massively increased educational expenditures, mostly to expand school administration, which has vastly outpaced the growth of both students and teachers. Today, taxpayers spend more than $15,000 per public school student. Yet, test scores have largely flatlined and in some areas even declined. These results became especially bleak after No Child Left Behind tied school funding to test scores, pressuring teachers to devote more time to teaching the test at the expense of other subjects. So, according to this article, results showing that the test results have been dismal since about 1970. Wrong. You can go back to 1962 when that horrible U.S. Supreme Court decided that they were going to take God out of government schools. You could no longer have the Ten Commandments. The Bible could no longer be taught in public schools. Starting then, from that period on, is when you have seen a continual downslide in the performance of American students. It was when you removed God out of school, that removed discipline out of school, that removed accountability out of government schools, and that is when the decline began. It happened before 1970. It started in 1962. Okay, so there's a very dismal picture of government schooling. Homeschool students, by contrast, consistently outperform their public school counterparts by as much as 30 percentage points. Do you get that, ladies and gentlemen? Homeschool students outperform government school students by 30 percentage points, even when comparing students from households with similar economic and educational levels. So in other words, if you want to compare someone who is relatively wealthy and has relatively high education levels in government schools with those students who are also wealthy and parents who have high education levels in home schools, they perform 30% better. Or on the converse, if you find households that are relatively in poverty and not that well, the parents have not that high education level in government schools, and you compare them with those households, which again are at relatively low income, and their parents not have high education levels, comparing the same, the homeschool students perform 30% better than the government school system. That is why, ladies and gentlemen, one of the reasons why I say get your children out of those government-run schools. The article goes on to say, it is also puzzling how public schools promote social development by grouping children according to their age, creating an environment where students interact almost exclusively with children at the same level of maturity. Despite socialization being the most common cited benefit of public education, homeschoolers significantly outperform their public school peers when tested for social, emotional, and psychological development. Far from being isolated, they enjoy greater opportunities to socialize with people of all ages. Homeschool co-ops, for example, bring students together for group lessons, often taught by parents with expertise in the subject. There is also curriculum out there, ladies and gentlemen, that you can find online coming from many different sources. The Abeka School homeschool system from Pensacola Christian College, Hillsdale homeschool system are excellent sources where you are able to not have to be an expert. All you have to be is willing to sit down with your children, have them go through the material, and if you have any questions or concerns, they are always available to answer those. But they will also send a teacher's guide along with that to help you along. You don't need government schools in order to educate your children. Unfortunately, many families that would prefer to homeschool simply can't afford to to withdraw their children from public school, which begs the question of why the government forces them to continue financing the very schools they are trying like to flee. Parents want to get their children out of government-run schools, but they can't afford to. Why? Because I'll take myself for an example. My children went from K-4 to K-12 through a private Christian school, and I had to pay a tuition for them to attend, all three of them. When you add all three together, it was almost as much as if I were paying for them to go to the government-run school. Not quite, because it doesn't cost as much to go to a private school as it does to a government-run school. However, because I was a property owner, I owned a home and a business, I was forced to pay property taxes, which the largest portion of that is for education. So I was paying for both. I'm paying for my children go to a private school, a private Christian school, and also paying for other children to go to government-run schools. And if I had to do it over again, I would. It was well worth it to keep my children out of those government schools. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. If you want to share your thoughts on that, you can call in at 904-831-0917. Again, 904-831-0917. Okay, let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about what has been in the news here recently, and that was the passing away of Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger at one time was embedded with those on the right. He was a part of the Nixon administration. He influenced even the Reagan administration and part of the first Bush administration. But now he is being celebrated by those on the left. And why is that? Why is he being celebrated by those on the left so much? Well, according to this article, again from the Mises Institute, written by Ryan McMacken, who wrote an excellent article, in my opinion, and it's titled, Henry Kissinger, War Criminal, an Enemy of Mankind. As I'm going through this, if you would like to add your comments, your thoughts, again, please feel free to call in. Ryan wrote this article on November 30th, so just last Friday he wrote this. I'm sorry, last Thursday. Okay, so the article begins with, former U.S. Secretary of State and National Security Advisor Henry Kissinger died on Wednesday. He was 100 years old. Kissinger is perhaps most notable for his work during the Nixon administration when he helped Nixon prolong the Vietnam War and expand it to Cambodia and Laos. But his influence was certainly not limited to the Nixon years. He served in an official capacity in the Ford administration and in some more informal roles during the Reagan and Bush years as well. Throughout it all, Kissinger was a ruthless servant of the American foreign policy establishment. As a Harvard-educated political scientist, here we go, back to Harvard again, good grief. A Harvard-educated political scientist, Kissinger was employed to provide gravitas and legitimacy to a number of U.S. wars and interventions, most of which ended in bloodbaths for the ordinary people of the countries Kissinger claimed to be improving. By the way, the author of this article mentions the Vietnam War, which expanded in Cambodia and Laos. And if you listen to those on the left today, and in fact, most of the mainstream media, They will tell you that the United States lost the Vietnam War. The United States, that's not accurate. The United States military won that war. It was the United States government, the politicians, who lost that war, who bungled it completely. The United States military did its job, what it was supposed to do. But because of politicians getting involved, it descended into chaos and eventually had to leave, much like Afghanistan. Now, Kissinger likely had the most freedom to inflict damage under Nixon, and thus his greatest crimes were committed in the Vietnam War. Spencer Ackerman, this week, talking about last week, efficiently sums up much of Kissinger's worst deeds. And this is what Spencer Ackerman had to say. The Yale University historian Greg Grandin, author of the biography Kissinger's Shadow, estimates that Kissinger's actions from 1969 through 1976, a period of 8 brief years, when Kissinger made Richard Nixon's and then Gerald Ford's foreign policy as national security policy and Secretary of State, meant the end of between 3 and 4 million people. This person is saying that this is Ackerman, Spencer Ackerman, is saying that the historian Greg Grandin, author of the biography Kissinger's Shadow, says that Kissinger, as the foreign policy, setting the foreign policy for the Nixon and Ford administrations as their national security advisor and Secretary of State, meant the end of between 3 and 4 million people. That puts him right up there with Stalin and with Pol Pot and with Mao Zedong. It's amazing. And this is our guy, Henry Kissinger. No infamy will find Kissinger on a day like today. Instead, in a demonstration of why he was able to kill so many people and get away with it, the day of his passage will be a solemn one in Congress. And shamefully, since Kissinger had reporters like CBS's Marvin Call and the New York Times, Kendrick Smith wiretapped newsrooms, Kissinger was a practitioner of American greatness, and so the press lionized him as a cold-blooded genius who restored America's prestige from the agony of Vietnam. Not since in the half century that followed Kissinger's departure from power did the millions the United States killed matter for his reputation, except to confirm a ruthlessness that pundits occasionally find thrilling. America, like every empire, champions its state murderers. So, ladies and gentlemen, Ryan McMakin, along with others, do not celebrate Henry Kissinger as some great statesman. They say he is a state murderer, that he is responsible for 3 to 4 million people. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll continue after the top of the hour. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. Feel free to call in at 904-831-0917. Again, Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine.